Exodus chapter 7, the paragraph from verse 8 to 13. Last Sunday evening we looked at the first seven verses, and we titled that as a preview of God's presence. And this evening we are looking at this paragraph and the title, The Proof of God's Presence. So the preview was God's promise. He presented Moses and Aaron with a view into what is going to come. And he says them, but God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh will not hear you. So this was very clear. They needed to know that. For they already had an encounter with Pharaoh, and they only made it worse for the people. The people were made to suffer even more. The rest, how their portion of work was increased, the load and everything, and the height, their lives were made worse and worse and worse. And now, God knows that Moses and Aaron are but men, and that without his assurance, they could very easily be disappointed. Just another disappointment would be terrible for them. And he tells them, you will be rejected, Pharaoh won't let you go, but there is a reason. It's because I will multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh won't heed you, so that I may lend my hand on Egypt. So this is what the Lord was telling them. This is so that Egypt and Pharaoh learn a lesson. This is what's going to happen. And also, all those miracles, all those troubles, the 10 plagues that God sent over Egypt, they were not just simply to punish Egypt, but also to establish the hearts of the people, that the people would trust in God. They are going to engage on a journey, very hard to believe. From a quiet, rich land, when they, of course they had the troubles with Pharaoh, of course there was what that was, but still they for a long time had lived in the land of Goshen. They were used to live in a fertile land and not to do so much hunger. But you remember from your past reading of the Bible that later in their journey, they think about what they left behind. All the food and all the stuff that they had in Egypt, and they were tempted to return. So by looking at that, we get a hint of what it was like. And God wants to prepare Moses and the people. So he's sending them to Pharaoh, and then we are told that these were not some kids that are the beginning of their life, then they have enough time to change their career. Moses already has changed his career. He was a royal in Egypt, and he runs away. He understood somehow that God wants him to do something, but he didn't know what. So he's running away, and that was God's school for him. He was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old at this moment. Then Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and let it become a serpent. God is not only giving the preview, now he's telling them, you go, and for yourselves, and also for Pharaoh, there will be a sign that I am with you. He wanted to make sure. Abraham grew into a man of faith. He grew up into a man of faith from a beginning when he too often was making decisions that were not right and doing things that were wrong. He had learned that God can accomplish so much. God can give you so much. And above all, that God is faithful to what He promises. And as we heard in the morning, in the process of sanctification, of salvation, sanctification, making us righteous, God is the one that does, and we are the ones who are to believe. And this is the same relationship here. God is telling them, Pharaoh would want a confirmation from you. It's the first time there was no miracle. When they encountered Pharaoh, they just went as ambassadors and talked with him in a reasonable way. Yet now, God says, this is the beginning. You need a proof that I am with you, and Pharaoh will receive a proof that I am with you. But yet, Pharaoh won't let you go. They already knew that. So they went to Pharaoh. And they did exactly as the Lord commanded. They did just as the Lord commanded. I like the expression, just like, more than exactly like I said. Just as the Lord, that means no more, no less. Literally, doing exactly what God has said. No more, no less. Just that. What God says is sufficient. So it talks about the sufficiency of God's power in the midst of our troubles. They did that. And Aaron cast down the rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Now here is where everything changes, or here is where the future is being prepared. Pharaoh was asking for a sign. The word here has the meaning sign in the original. It also means powerful work, can mean a miracle, a few other things. But I would say a powerful work, because this was God's doing. And it's proving powerful. The world, when God sends us, they want to know if God is with us. Often they ask for a sign, but when the sign is coming, they would not believe. The important thing is that God reassures His people, His servants, that He is with them. So Aaron did what Moses asked him to do. But Pharaoh also said, oh, I have something. So the world always has its own counterfeits. Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerer, the soothsayers. These are people who do chants and sorcerers is a good word. They did the same thing with their enchantments. They produced that miracle, you can call it. It is the power of the devil that cannot be neglected, cannot be ignored. So in our lives as God's children and therefore God's servants, we have to expect that. We have to expect real opposition from the devil, to the point that he will counterfeit even works that seem to be miracles of the Lord. And this also is probably a warning for those who are seeking miracles these days, when we already have the Word of God confirmed through and through. They did that. The devil came up with his counterfeit work. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. So they turn their rods into serpents, or their staffs into snakes, to put it in a more like 21st century language. Their staffs into snakes. Everything is fine after here, and Pharaoh probably say, see, who is Yahweh? I'm still not convinced. The world will never be convinced that the children of God are the children of God. Even when they deep in their hearts, they will accept the idea. They will never accept the truth publicly that they are weak, as long as they can put up something that will at least in part look like they have power similar to that of God. But Aaron's rod, or staff, swallowed up their rods. This is reaching here the moment of a comedy already. You have the rod of Aaron turned into a snake. It's probably moving a little bit there. We don't know what kind of snake. But then we have another two snakes coming towards it, and having Pharaoh happy and all that, and the snake of Aaron, that was Aaron's staff actually, is swallowing the others. Let me do a small interpretation so I can make my friend Oregon proud of me. Rods, staffs speak of power, of leadership. And what God has asked Moses to do was tell Aaron to put the staff down. You are representing me, and I have anointed you. A staff in the hand of a leader is the sign of power. This is what they receive when they go and they take their oath, before when they are appointed or elected or whatever. They receive that, and they even have them in their offices before them. And when we visited the Parliament House, we saw that very big sign of power on the Parliament House, right there on the desk in the middle. So it's talking about power. And here is like Yahweh declaring war unto the worldly powers that were keeping his people as slaves. And the rod of God, forget about Aaron, the rod of God, the power of God, is swallowing up. Actually, he vanquishes those who oppose him. And the snakes, the symbols of the human power, of the power of Pharaoh, that for a while encouraged Pharaoh, make him now feel ridiculed. Ridiculous. You know, may I say ridicule? Ridiculous. He feels bad. He feels humiliated. And every reasonable man would have said, okay, I know, it's all right. Look, I don't want to go any further than this. Your God is God. Like he ends up saying at one time later on when he sees his own son dead. Your God is God. It is a God, he is a God that can do what he says. Yet, we see here, Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord has said. This plus five makes six times, actually. This is not counted as one of the miracles. The plagues are counted the ones, when the war has already begun. So this was just the beginning, was just the proof that God is in it. That God is in it, and it is also, if you want, kind of a warning, a prologue for Pharaoh of the worst things to come that await him. The last five times when Pharaoh's heart is hardened, we are being told that God hardened his heart. But probably from the beginning, God allowed Pharaoh to follow in his hard heart. His heart, he was probably born with a hardened heart. He was a man who was against God. He was a man who refused to acknowledge the true God. God does the contrary here. In many occasions, we find God in the Bible working and softening the hearts of people. Even the story of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel is like that. Nebuchadnezzar had a hardened heart. He has become too proud. And he thought that he was God. Yet, God brings him to the position when his heart is softened. He loses his mind and then he gets a new mind. And he praises the God of heaven, who holds in his hands all the kingdoms of the earth, and he gives them to whoever he wants, whoever he wishes. Yet with Pharaoh is not the same. The longer God acts upon him, the harder this man gets. And then he enters on the point of no return. When God says, God looks at him and God says, I'll harden your heart. For we read, and I'm not trying to find mistakes in the Bible, but let me read verse 4 again. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt, bring out the children of Israel from among them. And then later on, we are being told that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. The first five ones were out of the control of God. God was in control of all this. And often we may think, you know, that God may allow the world that is against his children, to do its worst. God allows that. And God is giving everyone so that they don't say they did not know. But his endurance, like we read in Romans in chapter 9, his long patience with the vessels destined for destruction is so that he may show his glory to those he set apart for salvation. It's exactly what we see in this text. We can see that. We can preach Calvary from here, because we can see that God is in control of all the events. I want to be even more precise than that. God does not just control history. God makes history. God creates history. And that is something we have to keep in mind. And what we see here is history in the making. John read in the beginning of the service Psalm 105, or parts from the Psalm. And there we have a list. That's a short reading. Probably we should read it every Sunday evening until we finish with this. Recall of all the 10 plagues that the Lord is punishing Egypt with, including the death of the firstborn. But remember this, the world will always oppose us. We don't have to wonder about that. The world will persecute us. The world will just become so unrestrained at some stage and so bad. And when you would expect things to get a little bit better, it may get even worse, because God will harden them so that they don't see the truth, so that they don't repent, so that he destroys them. We have to think about that. This is how history looks like. It looks this way. Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord has said. He did exactly like that. So God was not aware of the situation, and God is not aware of what we are going through. Like everyone, like many people, not everyone, I was wishing that there will be a different outcome, say, in the U.S. elections. And often, in my human, limited, minuscule human mind, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be hard for Christianity if this anti-Christian people will win. And I was rebuked in my heart by the Lord. I was reminded by His word that it is not so. For God is in control of everything. Every president, every king, every leader, even the mayors of the least significant towns are God's servants. They are God's servants, even those who don't believe in Him, those who don't recognize Him. Even Pharaoh was God's servant, but he was a rebellious servant who thought that he himself was God. Yet God is the one that puts them there for a purpose. And He lifted Pharaoh for His purpose, that His name may be glorified. And of course, that His people learn to trust in the Lord and not in the powers of men. It's a wonderful thing. And it's wonderful to know that the Lord does not leave us alone. When Jesus, I go back again there, in Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, when Jesus sends His disciples to preach the gospel, and we are commissioned to the same call, and He is telling them, and behold, I am with you even until the end of time. I am with you. So we know that. Do we need any more proof than we already have? This book is filled with proofs. And every one of us maybe have at least a little story to say of how God has got to convince us that He is really with us and that He is faithful to all His promises. This is the God of the covenant. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, John.